Welcome. Before we begin the show, we here at the Stuff and Things podcast would like to advise you that Steve became the first human being in recorded history to be punched in the face by a metal trundle frame. We felt it was in your best interest that we at least give you fair warning that this week's Stuff and Things will be much more goofy than normal. You listening to this message constitutes the signing by you of a waiver that states if you continue to listen, well, let's just say any issues you have shaking this one off, that's on you. Now, let's get to the Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve before you can change your mind.
You've downloaded the episode. You've pulled it up in your iPod pad phone thingy. And you've even pushed play. There's no going back. Written in his bathroom. Produced in his basement. Now on the web everywhere. This is the Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve.
It's the seventh day, the fifth month of the eighth year, the second decade of the 21st century. Hi, it's me, Steve, and this is the seventh episode of the Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve. This week's episode is brought to you in part by everything that would keep you from drowning after 24 inches of snow melts and you get 4 inches of rain in 24 hours. Bunch of scuba gear and flip-flop flippers and goggles and snorkels and all that stuff. You know, it would take a lot for me to hate rain more than snow, and I don't think you want to know how close we are to that actually happening. Best not to think about it and just, you know, think about something else while you ignore this week's Stuff and Things. Sports, news of the world, and what the crap up this week. The starting of the fixing to commencing to get ready. We'll think about firing things off with a brand new segment next on the Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve.
If this amazing product had been invented 40 years ago, it would have been called a creation of demonic spirits, and its inventors would have been exiled from their village. Fortunately, this astounding product was invented last week. So it's hailed by all as a miracle of modern medical technology.
Except by the FDA.
It's Fixall. Fixall will alleviate the pain of the worst migraine headaches. Fixall will help reduce those aches and pains in your joints. It will clean even the toughest stains. Got an ingrown toenail or a bad complexion? No problem. Fixall can fix it all. Trying to get those oil stains off the garage floor? Let Fixall take care of it. Is your house burning in a raging inferno? Destroying all of your precious worldly possessions? Well, for crying out loud, call the fire department and take Fixall for the headache you're surely having. Fixall can fix it all.
Do not take Fixall before eating. Do not take Fixall after eating. Do not take Fixall while thinking about eating. Do not take Fixall while someone else is eating. Do not take Fixall while watching a show about eating. And for heaven's sakes, do not take Fixall while watching the Food Channel.
You are listening to the Stuff and Things podcast. And now...
Yo, that's dope!
Okay, new segment, explanation time. This is Yo, that's dope, okay? And the operative part of this segment is these are stories where the events therein are influenced by, you know, dope, you know, and that can be a lot of different things. It can be, like the Mary Jane. It could be the uppers. It could be the downers. It could be the blue pill. It could be the red pill. It could be, you know, all sorts of different things that, you know, people put in themselves. And, you know, normally good things don't happen. Okay. But at the very least, sometimes they're entertaining. So that's what Yo, that's dope is all about. So with that out of the way, let's go ahead and let's hit the ground running here.
I'm so wasted.
From Tom Barnes at the Independent. Man, the things people will do to get that new Taylor Swift song out of their heads. A guy named Christopher Clay Rudd was set to appear in court this week after he was arrested on drug charges. He was all set to go, too. He had his best yellow t-shirt on, he had his sharpest Zuba pants on, he even put gel in his mohawk. Dapper Dan, let me tell you.
I guess he remembered that he forgot to brush his teeth because all of a sudden he walks really fast out of the courtroom. Switch to camera two, Jimmy. That way we get to see Rudd bolt out of the courtroom and fling himself over a guardrail and drop 20 feet onto a tiled floor in the lobby. Busted his pelvis, broke his leg, and I guess he fractured his skull, but clearly nobody's gonna worry about this guy hurting his brain. Damage has been done, sir. Just a bit of advice from your uncle, Voice of Steve. No matter how many drugs you take, you are not going to bounce after a 20-foot fall onto solid tile.
Damn! All you do is smoke weed!
From WPTV-TV, West Palm Beach's echoiest news leader, Tyler John Marone, a 27-year-old person from Columbus, Ohio, caught a flight to Palm Springs last month, hoping to meet the president at Mar-a-Lago. According to a Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office arrest affidavit, Mr. Marone purchased the ticket after finding a credit card, which he thought, naturally, was a gift from God. Oh, come on, though. Everyone knows that God limits those kinds of gifts to finding that $10 bill you left in your winter coat back in February. Well, Marone got the ticket, flew himself to Palm Beach, and according to Deputy Kathleen Zaransky,
had full intentions of driving to Mar-a-Lago and walking onto the property to speak with the president.
Oh, as well as light up a presidential doobie. Let's not forget that. I mean, if you're gonna talk to the prez about heavy stuff like all the tea in China and that London Bridge falling down and stuff, you gotta have something to take the edge off, right? Besides, if you're stoned, you might talk slow enough so Trump will understand you. I just hope this guy doesn't get so wasted that he doesn't start seeing Trump's hairpiece start climbing off his head. Nah, you know, I shouldn't make fun of the guy. He probably had some serious stuff to talk with the president about. Apparently, he told the police he wanted to speak to Trump about
the static and frequency feedback that I constantly hear emanating from my basement and from fans in my head.
See? Perfectly reasonable. Marone was stopped after getting off the plane at the airport and was found to be in possession of a white substance which turned out to be shock methamphetamine. Yep, he said he was carrying self-prescribed Adderall in his bag. The good news here from Marone is that according to Florida's Baker Act law, he can be involuntarily committed for a mental health assessment. So check it out. He may not have gotten to meet with the president and rolled them fatties and smoked them blunts, but now he lives in Florida. Not a bad step up from Columbus, Ohio.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
And now, covering sports ESPN is afraid to touch, and NBC Sports Network can't afford the rights to. It's time for Voice of Steve Sports. Camel wrestling, cheese rolling, bogs snorkeling, chess boxing,
extreme ironing.
Now, let's go to the Voice of Steve Sports desk and your Voice of Steve Sports anchor, the Voice of Steve.
There's not often real good news in the sports. Unless you count any time the New England Patriots lose, there's always an exception. Like this story from Yahoo Sports, for example. Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier suffered a horrendous neck injury last season against the Cincinnati Bengals. And yes, I'm absolutely saying it was the Bengals' fault. Each and every one of them. Their punishment? A life sentence of continuing to be the Cincinnati Bengals. Anyway, so while it's not impossible that Shazier will play again, if he does, it's gonna be a long road to hoe. As a cool move, the Steelers asked Shazier to come on stage during the NFL draft last weekend and announce the Steelers' first round draft pick. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But believe it or not, it gets cooler. The Steelers would have paid Shazier $8.26 million for his services this year. That money was guaranteed as part of his contract, so he'll see the money spread out over the season. Well, according to ESPN's Field Yates, the Steelers showed their respect for their player by converting his base salary to a signing bonus, meaning he'll get that money right now. Well, this doesn't help the Steelers on the salary cap front, and as I'd mentioned, the money was guaranteed already. It's just a nice thing for a football team to do for a player who suffered a terrible injury while working his butt off for him. I don't have anything funny to say here, mainly because I don't want to scare the nice back into the hole it's been hiding in. I'd love to see gestures like this across all sports. Not likely to see that, but I'd be thrilled to be proven wrong.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
So, what's the statute of limitations on talking about the NFL draft? It's been a week already, and it's as though that's the only thing that's happened in the NFL. I mean, there may have been only two NFL players arrested in April, but there's still a lot that's happened this year already. I mean, can't Stephen A. Smith talk about Baltimore Ravens corner Marlon Humphrey being arrested in January for robbery? Now, what would Mr. Humphrey, a second-year player making almost $3 million a year, feel is necessary for him to yank from someone? Oh, you know, just a $15 phone charger that he stole from an Uber driver. Pretty sure the Uber driver's gonna have to sell plasma in order to be able to afford to replace that charger. And Humphrey could buy about $200,000 of them a year. Would life in prison be too harsh a penalty? I mean, you could trade him to the Browns instead, but that's way beyond cruel and unusual punishment there.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Voice of Steve. News of the world.
You know, I thought maybe that Prince Harry would be the one that would spare us the need to get all dressed up in our military uniforms and our fancy dresses with even fancier hats and gather together for a big fancy wedding that we'd all feel obligated to at least pay attention to. No such luck. In about 2 weeks, Prince Harry will marry American actress Meghan Markle. And of course, with the royal nuptials pending, the rumors start to spread. Members of Markle's family, including her estranged stepbrother, have warned the prince to steer clear of Markle, while royal insiders are saying that Prince Harry has become more withdrawn as his wedding day nears. Photographer Arthur Edwards, who's been working with the royal family on behalf of British tabloid The Sun for the past 40 years, tells the New York Times that in the lead-up to the wedding of the decade, he's noticed the usually cheery prince's behavior has shifted.
He's become very withdrawn. He doesn't even say good morning to us anymore.
Now, let's just calm down a minute here, okay? A regular wedding is stressful enough for just about anybody. I mean, I was freaking out and I wasn't even allowed to make any of the decisions. Good thing, too. Sesame Street napkins with Cookie Monster plates? In retrospect, I understand that would not have worked. Well, not with the Big Bird wedding cake I wanted. Anyway, when was the last time you had billions of people looking over your shoulder as you get ready for the most nerve-wracking day of your life? Hey, Prince Harry, you just don't worry about all those people worried about you being just a little emotional and maybe even just a little crabby. Soon as this whole wedding thing is over, you and Princess Meghan will be able to live a nice, quiet life. Until one of you needs to run to the chemist for some cold medicine, or you decide it's time to look out the window of your palace and all the newspapers criticize how you pulled the curtains back. Of course, there's not much to complain about being part of the British monarchy, but it ain't all wine and roses. Nope, I would imagine it's much, much more wine than roses.
So I'm just trying to get a rise out of you, that's all, for and giggles.
Well, this Avengers Infinity War thing is a pretty big deal, I guess. Some twists and turns and shocks all through the film, I can't say, because I haven't seen it yet. So, yeah, I guess the ending is pretty heartbreaking, too. Don't believe me? Hey, just ask Peta Pasapula Basha, a mason worker from Andhra Pradesh, India. That's right. You can't ask him because it turns out Mr. Basha died this past week at a screening of the biggest movie ever in the world ever. You see, Mr. Basha was still sitting in his seat, not moving a bit during the end credits. Well, the theater staff just thought he was hanging in there to see the after credits scene. We all do that, right? No matter the damage to our bladder from holding it for 3 hours. Well, after the credits were done, Mr. Basha didn't immediately collect all his garbage and proceed to exit the theater, depositing said garbage in the proper refuse receptacle. I mean, he would have. But he was dead. He died during the movie. The official cause of death has been ruled cardiac arrest. Well, that's either because the movie was just too exciting for Mr. Basha, or he spent too much time thinking really hard about the fact that he just spent $40 on a medium popcorn and a soda. Well, that's enough to stop anybody's ticker, even if they're watching the second Bridget Jones sequel.
Listen, hotshot, I'm gonna tell you something right now. I don't care for you or for the putrid sludge you're troweling out.
It is time now for another edition of...
What the crap?
Thanks to CheatSheet.com for this next story. Yes, thanks, because I was really tired of closing my eyes and not seeing really icky things. Imagination, you magnificent bastard. Gary and his wife, Almeda, are one of those love-at-first-sight couples. Even though Almeda has glaucoma 6 ways to Sunday and had to put her bifocals on to see. The couple met at a Chuck E. Cheese pizza restaurant during a birthday party, and it was there that they both felt an instant connection and hit it off right away. Well, 2 years later, Almeda is a spry 72-year-old, and Gary is finally an adult, so the whole thing is only slightly icky. Yeah, Gary is 19. Just a 53-year difference there. Who am I to judge? Not all of their families are cool with the marriage, but that doesn't stop them. Yep, they dated for about 2 weeks. Gary proposed. Almeda asked him to speak up 7 times, then said yes. Now, Gary and Almeda's staggering age difference doesn't mean they don't have anything in common. They both say they share plenty of interests. Gary likes to listen to and produce music. Almeda can hear it, and usually tells him to turn that noise down while she's trying to watch her Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Well, I never feel as though I'm missing out on anything by being married to Almeda. I mean, who doesn't love hanging out at the McDonald's with their 72-year-old wife's septuagenarian friends? I never knew how to talk about growing up in the 40s and read the sports page at the same time.
Ha ha. That's so funny. The last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Rarely during What the Crap do we have the chance to talk about actual crap. The planets have aligned sufficiently, though, to allow us that opportunity this week. According to the Holmdel Township Police Department, staff at Holmdel High School...
We're finding human feces on or near the area of the high school track and football field on a daily basis.
After setting up hidden cameras, the school resources officer and other school staff monitored the area and were able to identify a subject responsible for the acts. Well, as soon as they nabbed the high school student who did this, they should get like 1,000 hours of detention and should be made the lifetime poopy picker-upper for the town. At least he'd get a badge or something, right? So that's pretty cool. At least...
Wah, wah.
Hey, Phil, my imaginary intern. Long time no wah. Hey, buddy. What you been up to?
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah.
No, I didn't move the show to a different studio and forget to tell you.
Wah, wah, wah.
And I certainly did not keep telling you to just go to the old basement where I did the Voice of Steve podcast. That would not be nice. Anyway, nice to see you.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, what were you saying about the person they caught pooping at the high school?
Wah, 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 wah.
Oh. It wasn't a student at the school? Well, that's interesting. Who was it? Lloyd, the town drunk? Holmdel has the best town drunk. I mean, Holmdel is a pretty affluent area. Nothing but the best in town drunks for them.
Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, it wasn't the town drunk either? Huh. Well, the only logical perpetrator that leaves us is a school district superintendent who doesn't live in the same town that the high school is in and isn't even the superintendent for the district that the high school is in. I mean, as bizarre as that sounds, it's the only thing that makes sense when you rule out a student at the high school and the town drunk.
Wah. Wah, 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 wah.
Oh, wow. So Thomas Tramaglini, a guy who was making over $150,000 to basically boss principals and teachers around in the Kenilworth School District, 25 miles away, and tell him not to use so many paper clips, was basically pooping on the high school? Wow. Well, I guess the police saw him evacuating his bowels before confronting him as he began running at the track at the school. Yeah, they arrested him and charged him with lewdness, littering, and defecating in public. Wow, that's quite a prank to play on a rival school. What happened to the days when you would just steal the school's mascot? Those were the days, huh?
Wah, 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 wah.
That is one big pile of shit.
Wasn't that just magnificent? I was worried it was getting a little dodgy in the middle part, but then that finale, wow!
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve. Just a quick reminder here that you should not confuse the Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve with the Stuff and Things podcast without the voice of Steve. It's easy to goof that up. Just don't. The other Stuff and Things podcast is the one that doesn't suck. Most likely due to the fact that there is far less voice of Steve in that one. And that should clear things up for you. Hey, if you want to support Stuff and Things, I sure would appreciate anything you can do, you know? Just head over to patreon.com/stuffandthingspodcast and you can start patronizing me. I won't even whine about it. patreon.com/stuffandthingspodcast and you can chuck in a buck. Now, you can reach out to me through stuffandthingspodcast@yahoo.com and at facebook.com/stuffandthings. I tell you, my Twitterly do stuff and Instagrams and spam chats and whatnot, but I don't really do much stuff there, but I am on the Bookface all the time. So you send me something there or to the email, I'll see it, no worries. Hey, thanks for being here this week, and I hope to see you next week for another Stuff and Things podcast with the voice of Steve. This is Steve saying goodbye.